Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So I want to introduce my oldest friend in the Dharma. Trout Black came all the way down from San Rafael. Not entirely to see us, but put us on his agenda for a little while. We met at Haiku Zendo a long, long, long time ago, and practiced with Koban as long as Koban was around, and have carried on ever since. So, let's do introductions around.
Wendy.
Jeffrey.
Judy. Ellie. Faith. Samia.
And me from Jikoji. Straight down the mountain, and here she is. It's lovely to see you.
Glad to be here.
So this is what we're studying. It's Suzuki Roshi's lectures on the what we just chanted, the Sandokai. And what I've been doing with several books is going through chapter by chapter and just sort of highlighting what I hope everybody has already read. And then we can have a short discussion about it afterward. So this is the chapter he calls Buddha is Always Here. I just had an email from Jane in New Mexico, who is preparing to do a bodhisattva precept ceremony for the full moon tomorrow night with her group out in Las Vegas, New Mexico, out in the back beyond. And she had just read a definition of Dharmakaya, the great body-mind Buddha, Ur-Buddha, you could say, the one you can't even say. And she said somebody had suggested that it's like radio waves. They're always in the air. They're always, always in the air. But you have to have a radio and turn it on for them to be received. So it's not a perfect metaphor, but it's pretty cool, actually. And I think Suzuki Roshi is pointing to this, something like this also. So he's talking about the four lines that go, the spiritual source shines clear in the light, the branching streams flow on in the dark. Grasping at things is surely delusion. According with sameness is still not enlightenment. We have a slightly different translation, but it's the same. He said, whatever your mind can conceive is not the source itself. The source is something that only a Buddha knows. Only when you practice Zazen do you have it. Yet whether you practice or not, whether you realize it or not, something exists even before our realization of it, and that is the source. It is not something you can taste. The true source is neither tasty nor tasteless. Already this is saying too much. And yet, as we say sometimes, we have to say something. So he's making a valiant effort. He says, the truth is something beyond our ability to describe, beyond our thinking. And that's the essence of this. It's beyond our thinking. Truth can also mean the wonderful source, wonderful beyond our description, which is the source of all being. Being includes our thoughts as well as the many things we see. He said usually when we say truth, we mean some underlying principle, that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, etc. But in Buddhism, that is not ultimate truth. It's also being. Being that is included in big mind. Whatever is in our mind, big or small, right or wrong, that's being. If you think about something in terms of right or wrong, you may say this is eternal truth. But for us, that idea of eternal truth is also on the side of being, because it exists simply in our mind. So when he says being, it's not quite what we usually mean in English, but he's pointing to ordinary mind, everyday, samsaric, solid, what we think of as life. But he's pointing to the fact that all of these things are really based on our thinking. It's just thought that catches our attention and we judge and enjoy our thoughts as they pass through us like a river. The true source is beyond our thinking, and it's pure and stainless. When you describe it, you put a limitation on it. That is, you stain the truth or put a mark on it. The Heart Sutra says, no color, no sound, no smell. And that is what he calls Re. Re, the source of the teaching beyond words. We depend on words so much. We love words so much. And we believe them. And that is where our downfall comes. Because words are just noises that our body makes in an effort to point to something that we can't really say. And by that I mean we can't really say this book and mean this book. It's just a very clumsy way of barking at each other so that we can understand each other. And those of us who cultivate words and love them very much are always working hard at trying to reach out for the more perfect word that can reach more clearly and perfectly at saying it, however we can do it. It's like Cézanne painting the same mountain over and over and never quite getting there. We can't get there. So he says the opposite is the noumenal. In the being, the re means the phenomenal, the stuff of our life and world. And then there's another word, G, which refers to the phenomenal, to something, to the... Well, I'm not going to bother with those because it's too complicated and it's Japanese. But there are two sides, which is what the Sandokai is pointing out all the way through. And whatever can be introduced into our consciousness is what he calls G, and something beyond our consciousness is Re. So in darkness, the branching streams flow everywhere, like water. Even when you're not aware of water, there's water. Water's inside our physical body and in plants. There's water everywhere. In the same way, the pure source is everywhere. Each being is itself pure source, and pure source is nothing but each being. They're not two things. There's no difference between Re and G, pure source and stream. The stream is pure source, and pure source is the stream. The pure source is flowing all over, even though you don't know it. And this don't know is what we call dark. And it is very important. There's a whole Korean Buddhist school of not knowing. Only don't know. So when you sit, that's what you start with. You start with the very humbling notion that immediately sheds a lot of our preconceptions and our pride by our admission that we actually don't know. Grasping at things is surely delusion. He says, don't. We stick to the things that we see. Very sticky people are. We see something and we want it or we don't want it. We like it or we don't like it. Constantly making our mind up about what comes to us. Although what comes to us is coming with no agenda at all. It's just coming. He says, even if you understand that everything is one, that's not always enlightenment. Often people say, oh, all is one, now I get it. But he's pointing to the truth that it's just intellectual understanding and emotional and often based on an experience of some kind. I think everybody has that experience often on. But it's nothing that we can grasp or identify as ourself, our own, or belong to. And it's not it. There is no truth that is different from what each being is. So when Dogen says, enlightenment is the sitting that we are as we sit. That each one sitting is Buddha itself. There's nothing to look for. There's nothing to want. There's nowhere to go. We're already there. And what is here, whatever here is the truth. It's just the truth. It's so simple. It's so complicated. It's so hard to allow it to be like that. He says, to recognize the truth is not enlightenment either. It may be better not to say anything. Enlightenment is not something you can experience, actually. It is beyond our experience. If someone says, I have attained enlightenment, that is wrong. It means that person sticks to some explanation of enlightenment, and that is delusion. So I always say, if somebody tells you he's enlightened, run away. it's a dangerous person. So you cannot say, though, that there is no enlightenment or that there is enlightenment. It's not something about which you can say there is or there isn't. At the same time, something that you can experience is enlightenment, too. And then he goes on to talk about the story of Huineng again, which we talked about last week, the sixth patriarch, whose little poem contradicted the poem that was posted on a wall in a monastery. And he gives those poems. The poem on the wall was by the best student of the monastery. Our body is the Bodhi tree, the tree of truth. Our mind is mirror bright. Carefully wipe them hour by hour and let no dust alight. And when Huineng heard that down in the basement pounding rice, he said, that's very nice, he said, but I can do another one. He said, would somebody come with me and write it for me? And somebody did. And his was, there is no Bodhi tree, nor stand of a mirror bright. Since all is void, where can the dust alight? And the master called him in at midnight and gave him the robe and the bowl, and he went off into a new life as a very, very great teacher. Roshi says, one aim of the Sandokai is to clarify a wrong understanding concerning the fellow who wrote the first poem, who is made to look as if he sticks to rituals or scholarly work. That's how he's come down through history, as being not the best. And it's not true. He's pointing out that actually it's important, both things are important, to practice the, not so much ritual, but a discipline, a self-discipline that goes with the practice of just sitting. Finding ways of action, activity, expression of the Dharma itself, which is what our ritual is. It's often done in a kind of automatic way, in a not understanding way, and we don't do a lot of it. But actually, if we put our whole self into our bows, into our prostrations, into opening and closing the door and washing the dishes, that's what he means. That all of those things were being taught by the man who wrote the first poem. There's a lot of effort that goes into practice and a lot of attention. On the other hand, as Huineng was pointing out, it's all an illusion. It's all so transparent and temporary, in a continual flow of one shape and form into another, one world of life into another, as we pass, as our mind is exposed to one thing after another. So that there is no way to pin anything down and make it stick. Even, as I said last week, you can pound on the chair and try to make it, it's real, but it's just atoms floating around in there. Lots and lots of atoms. And it's not going to be a chair for very long. It wasn't a chair for very long. It came from a seed, and the seed came from etc. back, and it created the tree that created the forward, and it's going to fall apart and become a toy for a dog or a fire and ash, etc., etc. So, as he says, when you really know yourself, you will realize how important it is to practice Zazen. If you really know these things about yourself, you see really important to sit. Before you know what you are doing, you don't know why we practice. You think you're quite free, that whatever you do is your choice. But actually, you are creating karma for yourself and others. You don't know what you're doing, so you don't think there is any need to practice Zazen. But we have to pay our own debts. No one else can pay our debts. That's why it's necessary to practice. To fulfill our responsibility, we practice. We have to. If you don't practice, you don't feel so good. And you also create some problems for others. But not knowing this, you will say, why do I practice? Moreover, when you say we have Buddha nature, you may think Buddha nature is something like a diamond in your sleeve. But true Buddha nature is not like this. A diamond is ji, noumenon, absolute. We are always involved with the world of, oh, G is the phenomenon. We are always involved with the world of G, the world of stuff, without realizing we. And I have gone all the way to 8:00. I'm very sorry. It's a longer chapter. But if you like, we can talk about it a little bit before we have to go. There are questions? Paul?
It appears to me that what you said about not finding the right words is one of the reasons why Rinzai exists.
Why what?
Rinzai.
Oh, Rinzai, yes. It's all about words in Rinzai.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's about where the words come from.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, once you crack the koan,
you're somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet we have to say something. Well, I hope you all are reading this as we go. I don't always 100% agree with him, but it's very cogent and helpful, I think. He was a fine teacher and was working hard to connect with Americans in his way, and it wasn't easy. And he did a pretty good job. So, shall we do our 1 minute sit? Are there announcements? Marie's not here, is she? No? Good. We're in good shape.